Brendan Harwell joins us now from BCH Wealth Management. Brendan, a big day in the world of finances. How you doing, bud?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Do you gear up for Fed meeting day? Is that a day you circle on the calendar?
It's exhausting.
Really? Why?
I mean, just the last 2022 leading to this day. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of projections, a lot of talk, and then it leads up into the day. And, you know, it's basically a lot of gibberish, but we'll get into that.
We'll get into that. So here's what I want to ask you. Average folks out there, they got their 401k. They're feeling pretty good. They're making their contributions. You know, they're maybe doing it as well as they can. What does the Fed raising a rate a quarter point mean to the average investor? Does it depend?
No. It depends on, obviously, your age, time. Every time we sit down with an investor, time horizon is always key.
How long you have until retirement.
Exactly. Everything else, if someone tells me I have 3 months versus 30 years, obviously that your allocation is a little different. But also the difference is earning years versus depleting assets to live off of. So if I'm 35 years old, 401k, I have a company match and I'm putting money away, well, we talk about it all the time. At that point, all you want to do is stack as many chips as possible. So last year, you got more chips for less dollars. Mm-hmm. So moving forward, just continue on with what you're doing. In our opinion, be mainly equity driven and then figure it out as you go. The issue is for that individual, 65 years old, they're in their 401k, they have $1 to $2 million, they can't wait to retire, and they're in that target date fund of, you know, let's just say 2030, that lost 10% last year.
Right, that's no good.
So that's a little different in terms of management. That's kind of what we do in terms of active management. What we talk about all the time is our fear is if you look from just say 2001, if someone invested at the top of the market, they didn't get back to neutral till 2013. So if someone gave us their...
Wait, say that again. So if you repeat that stat.
Yeah. So if you, let's just say you retired in 2001.
Okay.
And you got out and you invested and you were equity driven.
Okay.
And you were had $1 million and you were taking say $60,000, $70,000 a year to live off of.
Uh-huh.
Okay. You're doing that. The market obviously fell off. We all know that.
In 08, 09,
Well, in 2001.
Oh,
and then,
okay.
And then again in 08,
okay.
So if you invested at the top in 2001, you didn't get back to neutral till 2013.
Got it.
Meanwhile, you were taking 6 to 7% from your assets.
Right.
So you kept digging this hole till eventually you could never get out of.
Right.
So from us, when we talk about active management, it's all risk management. So if someone gives us their dollars, that's very important that we never face that environment. And the environment we're in right now from a equity standpoint, even from a bond standpoint, that was the biggest fear from January 2022, is I don't want to look up 2029 and we just got
we're
back to
even,
neutral
yeah.
And someone's been taking 6 to 7% from their portfolio.
Right. So when you hear what the Fed says today, is it more about the quarter point being the matter, or is it more the tone, the feel, where this economy is going as a whole, that's really what is the worry?
We talk about this a lot, but it all comes down to math. And we are active investors, but I call it tactical investors. So you look at the math when we talk about that, it's more of interest rates on the short end of the curve, Fed funds, or looking at 10-year, and obviously it's inverted. And then we look at forward S&P 500 earnings. When we have the Fed meeting today and they come out 25 basis points, it's funny because you see the markets, they open down and then they finish up.
They're so excited.
That's because of trading. So it's very simple from that standpoint. The retail investor, I know they get caught up in it and they go, I don't want to miss this. Let me get in. Well, there's implied volatility inside of the market. So and a daily option says that there's implied volatility that maybe the Fed chair will come out and say something that will drive the market 5 to 10% either way. When he comes out and he does exactly what we expect, 25 basis points, there's no volatility. Mm-hmm. So instantly those people that have puts on, they bought protection on their portfolio. I know we're getting into it.
You're going to the options thing here. That always drives
me
crazy.
No, but then all that means is you have to cover it. Everyone knows about covering. So if I have a hedge on, I have to cover. That means I need to buy into the equity market, which drives it into the close, which is what we saw today.
Okay.
So we have trading ranges, continue to, but we still have an environment that's showing S&P 500 growth. But a recession from a fixed income
standpoint. Okay, so that's what I wanted to ask you. Because there's flashing lights about a recession. We've been hearing about it. People kind of eased off a little bit on maybe how deep of a recession they think it could be, or maybe that we won't even have one. Can you still have S&P growth? Can you still have growth in markets while you're living through a recession?
That's a great point. We've had it before. We've had it twice, actually, in the last, say, 10 recessions. The last time we had it, it's interesting enough, was in 1980.
Okay.
So what was 1980? 1980, we had Paul Volcker that was in, that came into a situation that exactly Fed Powell doesn't want to happen.
So runaway inflation.
Yeah.
Year over year.
Well, what happened? We had inflation in basically mid-late 70s. They were forward-looking. It looked like inflation was coming down. So what did they do? They stopped rates and actually pulled back. What happened? It was stickier than they thought. So Volcker had to come in and say, okay, no, we're getting rid of this. We can't have this happen. We're going to accelerate rates. And we saw, you know, the 10-year Treasury rate go up to 14, 15%.
Those days are done.
Those days are done, but
we hope.
Yeah, we hope. But what that did was obviously it shocked demand. Is exactly what he wanted to do in the short term was I want to come in and shock demand and then reset from there. In the short term, we saw earnings growth. But when you raise rates like that, when we talk about overall markets and the S&P 500, you'll also have multiple compression. So that's great. You have growth, but the cost of capital goes up, which means I can't pay as much for a stock, real estate, whatever. So you keep hitting the ceiling on the way up. And really all asset classes.
Okay. Do people have to be really patient in a time like this? Or is patience, can that be a problem?
This is, let's talk about a 35-year-old who has a 401k. No, just keep stacking chips, keep adding to your savings, and over time you'll be fine. But going back to what we talked to before about not wanting to see someone have a 12-year window to where they don't make any money, yeah, patience is key. And right now, as we mentioned, in 1980, Volcker created one of the longest bull markets of all time. Now, if you weren't patient and you got in at the high end, and then it was a little choppy along the way, but if you were patient and you saw it coming, obviously rates went up, so real estate prices came down. So if someone purchased a real estate back in 1980, the last 40 years, it's appreciated drastically. Stock multiples came down, so the same thing, and obviously bonds appreciated as well. We're not going to get to 14%, but if we get to 4.5% to 5%, it's going to create kind of the same long-term bull market opportunity this next cycle. If we
get there.
Yeah.
That's a lot to chew on. Brandon, we got to have you on for longer next time.
Yeah, yeah.
BCHwealth.com is where to go. Where can people reach you for all that you do? Who should be calling you? What's your elevator pitch in about 30 seconds or so?
It's really anybody, but most of our clients, I'd say, are small business owners that have that, you know, nest egg, whether it's for their business. So they're looking at earnings, they're looking at forward-looking business revenue generated, and then they look at their household and what they need to live off of to leave a legacy. So 224-875-7400.
Say it one more time.
225-875.
224, right?
224. 875-7400.
BCH Wealth. Brandon, you're a smart guy. Thanks for sharing your knowledge with us. Have a good one. Appreciate it.